Rojo, does it?
No, Sensei!
724 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. All right, we're going to begin our, I guess, interrogation right now of those who were involved in the debt negotiation, the debt deal, the votes on the debt deal. Joining us now is Congresswoman Diana DeGette, who was one of half of the Democrats in the United States House of Representatives who yesterday voted against the debt deal between the President of the United States and congressional Republicans. Congresswoman DeGette, thanks for your time this morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Okay. My question to you up first. Let's just have it, throw it out on the table here. Tell us why you decided to vote no on this deal.
Well, I read, you know, I really wanted to support the president, and I certainly felt that we, even though I didn't really want to raise the debt cap, it's our responsibility to our economy and to pay our obligations around the world. Having said that, I really looked at the details of what this deal was. You know, I voted for the clean increase in the debt cap. I voted for the Reid bill on Saturday when we had the opportunity. But when I looked at the details of this particular deal, I didn't think it was good for my constituents. And ultimately, that's who I'm elected to go to Congress and represent. What it did, it had deficit reduction, but it didn't say where those cuts would come. And I fear most of those cuts are going to come to programs that benefit my constituents. And the other thing is, there really was no revenue in the bill. So you're going to cut trillions of dollars of deficit spending, which I think we need to do, but you're not going to ask the ultra-rich and the corporations to share in that. And I just think that that's wrong. And I think as we go down the road on this, the American public is going to see why you can't have these deep, deep cuts while at the same time not asking the wealthiest among us to participate.
I completely agree with everything you've just said. I want your take on John Boehner, who yesterday in an interview with CBS News said, quote, "When you look at this final agreement that we came to with the White House, I, meaning Republicans, got 98% of what I wanted. I'm very happy." Is that a fair way to characterize this? Is that the way that people should look at this, that the Republicans got 98% of what they want, the idea being that 98% of what they want is only cuts, and specifically largely only cuts to the very social programs that you're talking about?
Right. Well, I'm not sure if he got, I think that, you know, anytime you come through a negotiation like this, you want to get as much credit as you can. And certainly Speaker Boehner, his caucus wanted to do much more, and we've seen that in the legislation they've all voted for. I mean, they voted several times already this year to cut Medicare benefits for folks. So you know, a couple of positive things about this deal. There are no cuts to Medicare, Social Security, to Pell Grants for college students, and that's good. And the other thing that was good about this deal was it didn't the other thing Boehner and the Republicans really wanted was like, it's sort of like sticking nails under your fingernails. They wanted us to come back every 3 or 6 months and re-vote this. And, of course, they wanted to do that to hurt President Obama in his re-election campaign. So that was eliminated now. There won't be another debt vote till after the next election. So there were some things that the president wanted in there, but ultimately these cuts are just really, they're going to be to programs, not just social programs for poor people. They're going to be for education aid, and they're going to be for unemployment compensation and things that go directly at the heart of the middle class.
I just want to get to your point about Medicare and Social Security. The way I read this deal, because it still puts off when the cuts happen, and it creates this so-called super Congress to come down with the specific cuts. As I read this deal, it says that if the super Congress doesn't put forward a plan that cuts, what, $1.5 trillion, that there will be these automatic cuts. And I think the way I read it is that that does exempt some parts of Medicare, not other parts of Medicare. However, isn't it fair to say that this so-called super Congress, this puts them in a position to, in fact, offer up major cuts to Social Security and Medicare? And what I don't understand is how Democrats, when you have half your party, and I don't blame you because you voted no on this deal, but if you have half of your party that has now voted for a deal like this that sets the stage for Social Security and Medicare cuts and all the other cuts that you're talking about. How can your party run to voters in 2012? How can President Obama run to voters and pretend to be the protectors of the middle class?
Well, so the way the deal is, you talk about this super Congress, and what that is, that's the 12, three from the House Dems, three from the House Republicans, and six from the Senate, making recommendations of the next tranche of cuts. And you're right, the firewall that I was talking about for Social Security and Medicare only lasts through that first tranche, and then if Congress is able to agree on cuts, good luck there. Then this super Congress won't have to make recommendations. But if Congress can't come to agreements on that second round of cuts, then you're exactly right. They could recommend cuts anywhere in the budget, and that's one of the deeply concerning things to me.
What are Democratic voters right now, in specific, people who supported President Obama? What would you tell them right now, who say they feel completely and totally sold out by a president who promised to do almost exactly the opposite of what this deal represents?
Well, this is what I would tell the voters is, you know, you get what you pay for. And what the voters in this last election in November, in November of 2010, said that they wanted was a deeply divided government. And I've been thinking about this a lot the last few weeks, because these Tea Party Republicans, there were 87 of them elected in this last election, and many more who are currently in the Republican caucus in Congress identify with them. These are people who do not believe we should have a federal government. They got elected with one mission in mind, and that is to dismantle government. And so what the voters of America have to think about is this what they want in the 2012 elections? It's a stark difference. And, you know, I've got my disagreements with President Obama right now, but he's trying to do the right thing. He's trying to protect Medicare and Social Security. He's trying to be the responsible adult in the room and raise the debt ceiling because we have to do it. He's trying to preserve the health care bill. You know, he's trying to do what he can do. But we have people running the U.S. House of Representatives who came to Congress to dismantle the government, and the voters are the ones that put them in there.
Look, I don't want to disagree with you about the ideological predisposition of the Tea Party folks and the people, and of course the House leadership, the House Republican leadership. I mean, they are the major drivers here. What's incredible to, I think, a lot of people is that the election of Barack Obama has created the presidency of John Boehner. It's a bizarre, bizarre situation. I think a lot of people feel unbelievably disillusioned. However, I just want to ask you one final question about this. And again, on the line with us is Congresswoman Diana DeGette, who voted no on the debt deal yesterday. I don't understand how you can lay the blame only at the feet of the Tea Party faction of the Republican Party or the Republican Party in general, when half of your own party went on record in support of this, and when President Obama agreed to this deal when he had other instruments potentially available to him to avert this kind of deal. How do you square that circle?
Well, I think you need to ask the people who voted for it, which I'm sure you intend to.
Oh, I will. I've got Congressman Perlmutter coming up in about an hour.
But I will say to you that I think a lot of the people who voted for this voted for it because by the time it came to us, 24 hours before we were going to start defaulting, a lot of people felt like they had a gun to their head. And to me, I said, you know what, you can put a gun to my head, that's fine, but I'm not, and you pull the trigger if you want, but I'm not going to vote for something that's going to hurt my constituents. And I did think there were other options, and the other option I believe we could have had is just to do a clean rate. You know, I wrote an op-ed last week in the Huffington Post about this. In the end, I said we could do a clean vote on the debt limit and then come back in September and really have the hard conversations about deficit reduction. But I think a lot of other people felt like they weren't really presented with any other options.
I think that's the way the situation was engineered. I mean, I think that frankly, a lot of people feel like when they look back at the Wall Street bailouts, they say, oh, well, that was engineered to be a crisis and to put a gun to Congress's head, give us the money, essentially. Now we had a debt crisis situation engineered by Republicans, President Obama complicit in it, engineering a crisis to try to put the figurative gun to Congress people's head like you to say, either you vote for this, which will potentially result in major cuts to Social Security and Medicare, or we're going to default. And I want to credit you for actually taking a stand and saying you're not going to play that game and voting no. I just feel like the Democratic Party will have a lot of trouble going out to voters and saying it's only the fault of the Tea Party Republicans when half of the party is on record now supporting this debt deal.
Now, let me just say one thing. This is not Ronald Reagan's Republican Party. Even when we did that TARP, and we did feel like we were under the gun with that TARP, the House Democrats went in and said, you know what, we're not going to agree to a deal that doesn't have a payback provision. I mean, the original deal that was presented to us with the TARP was a deal that said, give us the money, thank you very much. We put a payback provision in there, and because of and the Republicans accepted it. And because of that, we've now been, the taxpayers have been almost fully compensated for that TARP. So, you know, in those days, we actually had, that wasn't long ago, we actually had Republicans that you could deal with. Here, you had a Republican Party who said, we're not even going to, we don't even care if we default on our obligations. So I think we're in a difficult situation, and what Democrats have to realize is they've got to go get some people in there that have backbone. And P.S., please, don't bring us any more Tea Party people.
Congresswoman,
they are not helping the situation.
Congresswoman Diana DeGette, again, she voted no on yesterday's debt deal. I think your point about the TARP is an important one. We could have a whole discussion about the bailouts, how the bailouts continue on through the Federal Reserve. Has the TARP really been paid back? When you look at all of the bailouts, it's a line for a separate discussion. But I guess what I'm saying is I think a lot of people feel like these crises are being engineered for an agenda that is not what it may seem. And I think I completely agree with what you've just said. We need more people in the Congress who are willing to take tough votes like you took yesterday. And we don't need more Democrats or Tea Party Republicans who help engineer, whether through passive complicity or aggressive posturing, to create these crises that ultimately end up, as you say, potentially seriously hurting the rank and file American voter. Congresswoman DeGette, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it. 736 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. All right, our phones, we got a lot of people who want to call and weigh in.